You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. I have a very special guest on today. He's a man I met about 18 months ago and have come to really admire and respect. He's Sheriff Richard Mack, former sheriff of Grand County, Arizona for two terms, who now runs an organization called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Sheriff Mack has had a remarkable career and is doing some really good work. And good to have you on, Sheriff.
Well, thanks, Michael. It was great to have you at our recent Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. We can make that sound a little simpler by saying CSPOA. It was great to have you at our conference, our CSPOA conference, about a week and a half ago, I guess, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was a remarkable conference, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the document that was produced at the conference in a few minutes. But first of all, tell people about a little bit more about your background and also one of the important things that you did when you were sheriff, and that was get involved in a landmark case against the United States government that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and there was a landmark decision made.
Well, that is kind of unheard of, and the older I get, the more amazing that lawsuit seems to me, looking back in history, about now, 20 years ago, February 28th, that I actually filed that lawsuit. And I still feel so young that it seems impossible that that was 20 years ago. But the decision came out in 1997, but I actually filed it February 28th, 1994, and I was the first sheriff in American history to sue the federal government, i.e. the Clinton administration, but any administration for that matter. I sued the federal government and won a landmark decision. And this is really what's baffling. This was the first time in American history where the federal government tried to commandeer the office of sheriff all across this country to force us, literally force us, not pay us, not give us grants, not give us Humvees or equipment, but to literally force us by threat of arrest if we failed to comply with their gun control measure known as the Brady Bill. And there were actually five Brady Bills scheduled, one to be passed each year after another until five Brady Bills would have been passed and the Second Amendment would have disappeared. And that is no exaggeration. It is absolutely what the Brady Bill movement and Sarah Brady and her buddies were all about. The Brady Bunch was about getting rid of the Second Amendment. And because of a couple of small-town sheriffs, this was stopped. And this is also the first time that a law enforcement officer, i.e. the sheriffs involved in this lawsuit, stopped gun control laws in this country. And it was such a monumental and historic event, not just the lawsuit or the decision, but the entire episode of sheriffs telling the federal government, one, we're not going to do what you tell us to do because, and this is the reason I filed the lawsuit, that the federal government came in and thought they could tell me what to do. Or all the other sheriffs. And I am still shocked that the other sheriffs were all going to go along with it. And so I still can't believe that happened. But they were just going to go along. Nobody liked it. But they said, oh, you know, you can't fight City Hall. And the federal government can do whatever they want. And you know, it's just none of that is true. And if we continue to sit back and watch and not stand up to the federal government when they do these sort of things, then of course they're going to keep doing them. And what I found out, what I learned in this whole process, is that state sovereignty is never going to be protected by the federal government. And if we're going to continue as a free country and really respecting the individual liberties of each American citizen, then state sovereignty is the check and balance that will keep the federal government at bay and keep them in Washington, D.C., where they belong. And the enforcement, what I really learned through this lawsuit, that the enforcement of the 10th Amendment And state sovereignty is up to local officials. It's up to your sheriff. It's up to your mayor. It's up to your city councilman. It's up to local teachers. It's up to county commissioners. It's up to governors and state reps. Local officials must stand if we're going to maintain the principles of federalism and the principles of liberty that this country was founded upon. And that has brought me to that very principle there has brought me to forming the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, which you already alluded to.
Well, the lawsuit, as I recall, was remarkable because the fact that the Supreme Court ultimately made its 5-4 decision in your favor based on the 10th Amendment. But it was even more remarkable because of what was done at the lower court, the district court level. And as I recall, the judge there basically looked at your oath of office, which was very similar to the one I took as an Army officer, to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and said that what the federal government was doing was trying to get you to violate your oath of office in order to enforce this federal law, which you believe to be unconstitutional. Have I got that right?
Yes, that's exactly correct. And the quote from Judge Roll is precisely this, quote, "Mac is thus forced to choose between keeping his oath or obeying the act, subjecting himself to possible sanctions." So Judge Roll got it completely correct. In one sentence, he gave the entire gist and reasoning for my lawsuit. They were literally forcing me to violate my oath of office, and that's probably the only time you'll ever see any court case where a judge actually addressed the oath of office.
But there were, what, six other sheriffs involved with you in this suit ultimately?
Yes, Sheriff Prince from Montana, Sheriff Coog from Texas, who has since passed away, Sheriff McGee from Mississippi, Sheriff Romero, who is now a state legislator from Louisiana, Sheriff Sam Frank from Vermont, and Sheriff Anders from Wyoming. So Prince and I ended up being consolidated as we're in the same circuit, and then he and I were the two that went before the U.S. Supreme Court in December of 1996. What I really want your listeners to realize is, why haven't you seen and heard about this case before? Because it is the most powerful 10th Amendment decision. It is the most powerful state sovereignty decision in the history of our country. Why aren't you aware of it? Well, it was purposely hidden from you, and the Clinton administration did everything they could to make sure you weren't aware of it. And this decision went much further, much broader, much deeper than I ever anticipated. But it says in no uncertain terms that the federal government is not our boss, and that we share, even counties and cities share the supremacy. The federal government is not supreme, and that the supremacy is shared between all of us in a system called dual sovereignty. And yes, the federal government has some sovereignty, but it's the assignments that they have. It even says it in this decision, that the powers and authorities of the federal government are extremely discreet and enumerated, as listed in Article 1, Section 8. So if you want to see where the federal government has been told they cannot go outside the boundaries of the Constitution, and how is it that they stay within those boundaries, that it's actually up to the states to make sure they stay there? If you want to see that, then you need to look at this case. And you can, I actually have this case in a little booklet. I think you've seen it. It's called The Victory for State Sovereignty, and it's the same size as your pocket Constitution. And you should be getting them. I mean, they only cost like a dollar, and you can get them and pass them out to all the local officials in your area to prove to them that the federal government is not our boss. They are not supreme. The Supremacy Clause does not give them carte blanche like some idiots in the media and politicians like to pretend. And all that's a lie. And the states are sovereign, but you know what? You have to have local officials with the courage to make that so. And so that's where we come in at the CSPOA.
Well, the book is very good, by the way. I brought quite a few of them home with me, from the meeting because I want to pass him out. And because I had frankly heard of the case, but I did not realize the implications. And here I am, a constitutional lawyer.
Yeah.
I've been working in that field for 30 years, and I had, you know, heard something about the case, but never really looked into it, never saw exactly how powerful it is. And as you say, it was very powerful. One thing I think that my listeners would be interested in is exactly what part of the Brady bill, or was it the entire bill, were they trying to force you to enforce? I understand gun background checks was part of it.
That was the main one. We were going to have to do a background check on every citizen in our county, no matter where they were from. If they were in our county going to a gun shop, then we had to do a background check before they were allowed to purchase a handgun. And it gave complete power to me or to any sheriff anywhere in the country saying, if I don't want you to have a gun, then I'm just going to say you failed. And then it was up to you to prove that I was wrong. So it was simply a process of getting sheriffs on board, working with the federal government, so that they would be in line to do Brady Bills 2, 3, 4, and 5. Brady Bill 1 was a test ground. It was a test. It was a place to do the experiment. Will these sheriffs go along so we can make sure they're ready to do Brady Bills 2, 3, and 4, or 5? Because that's where it really got bad. Now, Brady Bill 1, what I really objected to is that they thought they could tell me what to do. And that, because I told them, I said, you guys can't fire me, you can't hire me, you can't dictate what I do as sheriff. I work for the people of this county. And that was even debated on the Phil Donahue show with some of the lawyers for the Handgun Control Incorporated and Sarah Brady and her gun control fanatics. And this is what I told them, and this is what I'll tell your audience right now. And this happened in Judd Roll's court also. He said that statistical analysis does not equate to constitutionality, and that's what the gun control fanatics want us to get involved in. Oh, do guns make us safer? Do guns reduce crime? If there's more guns, then do we have more violence? And then you're better off not having a gun in your home because people are going to shoot themselves with it, and it's conducive to suicide and blah, blah, blah. But if you really look at the truth, all of those statistics don't make or measure or muster up to constitutionality, because no matter how you slice the statistics and the analysis of the statistics regarding gun ownership in this country, gun control in America is still against the law. And the statistics do not make it constitutional or unconstitutional. Plain and simply, gun control in America is unconstitutional, and it is against the law. And that is the intent of the Second Amendment and those who wrote it.
And hold that thought, because we need to go to a break right now. And if people want to find out more about the organization, they can go to CSPOA.org. And we'll be back in just a moment.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
Did you miss the show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
My guest today is Sheriff Richard Mack of the Constitutional Sheriff Peace Officers Association. It's CSPOA.org if you want to learn more about them. Or you can also go to my website and blog at Michael Connelly, CONNELLY.JIGSY.com, because I wrote a recent blog article about the organization, about Sheriff Mack, and also about something that happened at their recent meeting. But tell us a little bit more about the lawsuit and what your feelings are about what it can be used for these days. How can local sheriffs, how can local legislatures, governments, how can they use that? Because the Tenth Amendment applies to all those. And how
well,
can
does.
They use it to defend themselves?
It's such an amazing decision. And the quotes from and the principles expressed within this decision, written by Justice Scalia, are mind-blowing. I mean, they're revolutionary. And that's why I have used this decision to teach my classes and do my presentations all over the country that simply show this. And I asked this at the conference that you attended. I made a quote from the decision, like it says, we have held, however, this is an absolute word-for-word quote from the decision. We have held, however, that state legislatures are not subject to federal direction, end quote. Well, who's going to enforce that? Why is it that we have local law enforcement so hell-bent on obeying some Supreme Court decisions and not obeying mine and not enforcing it? You know, why are we so worried about reading somebody the Miranda decision and yet we don't enforce the only time law enforcement and specifically sheriffs sued the federal government and won? Why aren't we reading this case and enforcing it just as much as we are some of these others? This was a law enforcement Supreme Court decision on our side. So why is it that we're not enforcing the other one, another major quote from the decision? And it was this, the states cannot be compelled to enact or enforce a federal regulatory program. Well, what does that do to Obamacare? It completely allows the states to opt out of it because you'll simply say the state, the governors, and the county commissioners, city councils should all say, we will not enforce this. We will not implement this federal regulatory program. We don't have to. We don't work for you. The Mack Prince decision says that we don't have to. And as a matter of fact, the Prince Mack decision states clearly that we're the ones that are supposed to let you know when you go too far. And if you'll read the decision, it makes it very clear that that is the case. State sovereignty is only going to be protected if we have local officials do it. And it calls state sovereignty, quote, a structural protection of liberty. A constitutional, one of our Constitution's structural protections of liberty. A structural protection of liberty. So if we don't comply with the Tenth Amendment, and if we don't comply with the Mack Prince decision, then we are losing a structural protection of liberty. Is there any of your listeners that want to lose a structural protection of liberty? I mean, this is so powerful, and Scalia actually gives the solution when he states that a healthy balance of power between the states and the federal government will reduce the risk of tyranny and abuse from either front, end quote. I ask again, all law enforcement officers, all county commissioners, county attorneys, same thing, DAs, whoever, governors, state reps, who is going to enforce that principle of maintaining a healthy balance of power between the states and the federal government? Do you think that's going to come from the federal government? They're going to be the ones to determine how we maintain that healthy balance of power? That has to come from us. The enforcement of the 10th Amendment must come from state officials, and especially, as we say in the CSPOA, a constitutional sheriff. And we certainly hope that chiefs of police and patrol officers and deputies, that all of them will be part of this process, and that they will refuse to enforce laws that are clearly violative of the Constitution, and especially the Bill of Rights. And you know the response I get there, Michael, when I say that. Oh, Sheriff Mack, we don't get to pick and choose which laws we obey and which ones we enforce and which ones we don't. Well, first of all, as a matter of practice, law enforcement officers do that all the time. We do not enforce the laws altogether the same from one state to another. One day I might write a person a ticket for running a stop sign. The next day I might just honk at them and shake my finger at them. I never have written somebody a ticket for jaywalking. We could sit there and do that all day long and bring in lots of tickets. But we do not enforce a lot of stupid laws in this country, and thank God that we don't. But the thing of it is, there is also a very powerful principle in what these officers are saying, but they don't realize what they're saying. You are absolutely correct, Officer Jones, when you say that you cannot pick and choose which laws to enforce, because you are a sworn guard of the Constitution. You have taken a solemn oath in God's name that you would follow, uphold, defend the United States Constitution. Therefore, you cannot, by solemn oath, enforce laws that are clearly outside the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights, which are the ultimate supreme laws of this land. And so you now have an obligation to know and understand the Bill of Rights and your oath of office. And you did not take an oath that said, oh, I solemnly swear that I'll do whatever the judges and legislatures tell me to do. That is not what your oath says. Your oath is an allegiance to the Constitution. And if somebody else is violating the Constitution in government, that puts no obligation on you to go along with it. In fact, quite the opposite. You must stand against it. So that's the significance of this Supreme Court decision.
Well, you know, people, as a constitutional lawyer, people ask me all the time, can the states nullify federal laws? Because everybody's been told, no, federal law is supreme, the states can't do anything about it. In fact, as I read that decision in your case, that's exactly what the Supreme Court said, that yes, states and local governments and sheriffs can nullify federal laws, if those federal laws are unconstitutional, and enforcing them will violate your oath of office. Is that the way you see this, too?
Yeah, there's no question. There's absolutely no question about that. And I admit, Michael, I admit that this is a big paradigm shift, especially for law enforcement and cops, because we've been trained just to go out and write tickets and just do what we're told and, you know, follow orders. But that is not what we promised to do in our oath. And so we're getting back to these basics. And, you know, I asked the question in my presentation, and I asked it when you were at our conference. Will you stand for liberty? Whose job is it to stand for liberty? Who has the moral, ethical, constitutional, American obligation to stand for liberty in this country? Whose job is it? And can you say, no, the dog catcher doesn't have to do that. He just has to catch dogs. No, the patrol officer doesn't have to stand for liberty. He just has to write tickets and go investigate traffic accidents. No, the captain at the police department, he doesn't have to do it. He just has to supervise his officers and make sure that they're out writing tickets. So whose job is it? The sheriff? No, he'll say the same thing. It's his job to serve papers and to run a jail and to keep people out in the county safe, and to enforce traffic codes and enforce some of the licensure requirements of the county, or to enforce all the laws that the legislature gives them and throws down at them. Well, then who's going to stand for liberty? Whose job in the state is it to stand for liberty and protect the Constitution? The governor? Well, you know, what if they don't do it? The state legislature, what if they don't do it? They're usually, the governor and the state legislatures, just like the federal legislators and U.S. Congress, they're usually just doing whatever their donors tell them to do. They'll do whatever it takes to get the donations to keep coming in, so they're going to please their donors. So then that makes me, as a sheriff, just enforcing whatever the insurance companies say or the biggest donor to the guy who won. And I find that extremely unethical, and I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to be a little puppet for the legislatures who are just puppets of the corporations. I find that a very corrupt process and a system that I would not participate in, and I stopped that, and I won a case at the United States Supreme Court because of it.
Well, tell us about the CSPOA. What made you form that organization?
Well, I wrote a book called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, and it really took off, and I was really shocked. It was just self-published, and it was just 50 pages long, and, you know, it's approaching selling 100,000 copies. And it just created this movement and this awareness that people really got involved in all across the country. And I just couldn't keep up with all the requests for speaking engagements. And we kept looking at this, and we said, you know what? We're talking about the constitutional sheriff in this book. Why don't we form an organization that makes this much more applicable, stronger, that makes this whole idea of constitutional sheriffs standing for liberty, make it a household name? And so about 3 years ago, I wrote the book 5 years ago. It came out this very month, 5 years ago, February of 2009. And we decided that we would form the group and have our conventions, and you attended the fourth one. I think you've been to others as well. But that's been the fourth one we've had in a little over 2 years, and it's been an amazing process. And this past one was, I believe, the most productive that we created this document. And after the break, I'd really like to go through some of the principles of this document called the resolution that you saw and you witnessed history being made as the sheriffs and the chiefs of police and the cops and the public officials in that meeting, of which there were about 75, from all over the country, said, you know what? We really do need to put the federal government on notice and let them know that we're going to do everything we can to protect our citizens from their criminal activity and the tyranny of the federal government. We're going to protect our citizens from the NDAA. We're going to protect our citizens from Agenda 21. We're going to protect our citizens from the IRS and the criminality going on there, and health care and Obamacare and all these other abuses from the EPA, from the FDA, and all the other abuses and just the flat-out disrespect for our property rights.
All right. Let's take our second break now, and then I want to go into more details about that.
Absolutely.
Who is or what is USJF? It is a nonprofit legal organization founded to protect our rights through the U.S. Constitution. Active in educating the public, USJF has also contributed directly and indirectly to legal defense efforts in many celebrated cases involving fundamental conservative principles. Cases of note include the Mount Soledad Cross case, the Arizona Immigration Law case, the Obama eligibility cases, the NDAA illegal detention issue, and many more. Help this nonprofit as they help you. Visit www.usjf.net today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, everybody. And again, my guest today is Sheriff Richard Mack, who runs the CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association. And before the break, he was talking about a remarkable event that occurred just about a week and a half ago, and I was honored to be invited to be there and to participate in it. Basically, I watched as sheriffs and peace officers, or chiefs of police, and constitutional attorneys like myself and others participated in this organization, CSPOA, drawing up a document which is historic in nature. And the document is, if you want to read the document, you can go to CSPOA.org, or you can go to my website, michaelconnolly.jigsy.com, and read the article I wrote about the conference and about the document. But I want to let Sheriff Mack tell you exactly what's in that document and how important it is.
Well, I think this is probably the most historic document, and you're a little bit older than I am, probably not too much, but you are a little. And I think this is the most important American document of our lifetime. I think it's the beginning of the solution to get the federal government to leave the people alone. And, you know, when government leaves people alone, that's called freedom. And so you know that we're not free in America anymore, because we have hundreds and hundreds of state and federal bureaucracies that are always mandating, monitoring every facet of our lives. They tell us how to do insurance now. They tell us how to do education. They tell us how to take care of our homes, how to flush toilets. Every financial transaction of our lives is monitored by us. We are forced to be slaves to monitor ourselves for the federal government. And if we don't do it right, we go to jail. My dear friends, that is not a free country. We do not live in a free country. And we now have somebody in the White House that has made it abundantly clear, and so many people have now stood up because they finally have been awakened by this, what would I call him, a Marxist who is in the White House. And so because of the blatant abuses of this regime, we now have so many people waking up. And now to turn this back around and to restore liberty, that's why we have the CSPOA, to make sure that citizens have someone defending them in their communities when federal agents and the IRS come in to destroy your family and to destroy your business and to commit atrocities against you and your family, and to do raids on your guitar business or your family farm or the Amish farmer because he doesn't pasteurize his milk, or any of these other hundreds of reasons why they come after us in America today when we have hurt no one and we've broken no laws. This is going to continue unless we have somebody in your hometown and in your home counties stopping it. And that's the purpose of the CSPOA. We will stand and protect you. And in fact, one of the things at the conference that came up repeatedly was really, how do we, as sheriffs and local officials, protect our citizens from the atrocities of the Gestapo IRS mafia in America? How do we really protect our citizens and say, well, I'll protect you from the street gangs, but I will not protect you from the IRS? Well, that's providing no protection at all. You know, the street gangs will give you a fighting chance. The IRS will not. And so we went over this and we talked about these things, and it looked like at the conference that everything was going to be tabled because it didn't look like we had enough time. But we allotted the entire afternoon for this process. And this was not me. Some of the idea came from me to do such a proclamation. But the name of it was not mine. It was not even going to have the name of CSPOA, but the people in attendance asked that it have Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association on there. And I would again tell your listeners, you can become a member. Everybody can become a member of this. And if you really want to be part of the solution of taking back America, then you will become a member, because that's what we're doing. And we need volunteers, and we need help all over this country. So we can't be just watching the parade go by anymore. We've got to be in the middle of this, and we've got to step up to the plate. I want to reiterate also something that we said at the conference, and I'll say it again here. This is a peaceful process to take back and restore liberty in our Constitution, county by county and sheriff by sheriff and state by state. That's what this process is. But in the document itself, and I'm holding it here in my hand, they actually said in this tremendous document, the third paragraph, I really love this one, we further reaffirm that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. That might shock everybody. That's the 10th Amendment. Furthermore, we maintain that no agency established by the U.S. Congress can develop its own policies or regulations which supersede the Bill of Rights or the Constitution. Nor does the executive branch have the power to make law, overturn law, or set aside law. So therefore, we, the people, and the officials that attended this conference, in order to protect the American people, be it resolved that the following abuses will not be allowed or tolerated. And now any of your listeners can go to the website and see what these eight are. The very first one says, plain and simply, in just about seven words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep, I was right. Registration of personal firearms under any circumstances. Now, I don't know if your citizens understand the significance of that, but that means the BATF, we would stand against them from registering in any way firearms purchased within that jurisdiction. So as a constitutional guard, and as a constitutional sheriff, and as a sworn guard of the Constitution, I would have to oppose any registration of firearms from the citizens in my county. And that's plain and simply the intent of the Second Amendment. Another one I really like is number 3. And, well, I like them all. I mean, they were all just historic. But get this, your citizens need to understand this, and that's why everybody should be going to CSPOA, even while we're right now talking on the web show right now that you have going on. People should be going to this website and just become so excited about this that you could hardly contain yourself. Because, folks, do you understand that everything we've been praying for, everything we've been hoping for to reverse what's going on in our country, to reestablish liberty in America, has now started? The process has started. Do you want to be a part of it? You have to be for it to be successful. And so number 3, audits or searches of a citizen's personal affairs or finances without probable cause and due process and constitutionally compliant warrants issued by a local or state jurisdiction. That pretty much shuts down the IRS, because they would not be able to do random audits pursuant to this. Now, I will say that this is a resolution, but it is something that we are going to try to enforce. Why would we try to enforce this? Because overall, Michael, and you know this to be true, all that we're saying here is that we are going to demand that federal agencies in this country adhere to the Constitution, that they follow the Bill of Rights, that they follow the law, that the rule of law will apply to them, and that we as sheriffs and chiefs of police and other officials across this country will make sure that they follow the law, the supreme law of the land. Wow.
Yeah, the whole thing is incredible. And again, I encourage people to go to your website at CSPOA.org or to my blog at michaelconnelly.jigsy.com and read the article I wrote, because it contains a link to the document, or you can go to the CSPOA website and look at it and read the entire document. And it's a beautiful piece of work. It's something very, very important. It's something that may very well rescue this country. Because we've got these local sheriffs standing up to stop the government, federal government, from taking away our freedoms. That's what they are supposed to do. That's what they are empowered to do. And that's what we need to encourage others to do. And if people want to get involved, they can join through the website and join Sheriff Mack. But I also encourage people to gather the information about this declaration, gather the information about the organization, and send it to your local sheriff.
Absolutely.
Particularly if, you know, you're somebody who's contributed to their reelection campaign, or you're just an ordinary citizen, send it to them. Send it to police chiefs in your area. Let them know.
Or take it to them in person. Or take it to them in person.
Yeah, exactly. Let them know that you support what Sheriff Mack is doing. And so what else can people do to help out the organization, Sheriff?
Well, you know, just like we were saying, go get a copy of this and take it to your favorite sheriff or deputy or patrol officer. Take it to the city council. Make a presentation and ask them all to sign it. We just had Sam Sloan, and you probably have never heard of him. But we just had him sign it, and he is the only Republican legislator in the state Senate of Hawaii. Let me repeat that. He is the only state senator in Hawaii that's a Republican. Everybody else is a socialist Democrat.
Yeah, Sam is also on every committee. Sam and I go back farther than one of those.
Oh, you do know Sam.
Yeah, I had dinner with Sam in Hawaii last year, as a matter of fact, when I was out there. Yeah, he and I started out in Young Americans for Freedom together when we were college students.
Oh, okay. Wow. You guys go real way back. Okay. Well, he's an amazing man, and I was in Hawaii, so I met with him, and I met with some other people there that I know that are active. And I asked Sam, I said, would you sign this document? He said, sure, take it back home with you. So he signed it, and I brought it home with me, and it's kind of a big deal. We want every state rep to sign it.
Let's take our final break now, and then we'll talk more about the document and also about some of the pushback that y'all are receiving.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Again, thank you all for listening in today. And my guest is Sheriff Richard Mack, who is the director and president. What's your official title, Sheriff?
President of the
president
CSPOA.
Of the CSPOA. And he's doing a remarkable job with that organization. It's a growing organization, and I am proud to be a part of it, to be invited to go to their conferences and to be working now on a committee to help set up a legal defense fund for the sheriffs and other law enforcement officers who are getting some pushback or getting pressured by the federal government to violate their oath of office. And one thing I always like is when I write an article or I do a show and I'm immediately attacked by the left for that or for some of the books I've written. And by the way, Sheriff Mack has written some very outstanding books. You need to go to the website to find out about those. But I always feel like I'm really getting to be a thorn in the side of some people. Well, I know that Sheriff Mack and his organization are, because they're getting some pushback. There's some things been happening to the sheriffs and to some of the law enforcement people involved. You want to talk to us a little bit about Sheriff Finch, for example, down in Florida, and Sheriff Chris, I believe it's Christopher, in Delaware?
Yeah, and of course, Chief Harger, who came to our conference from New Mexico, he got harangued by the TSA coming out to our conference, and when he got home, the TSA had called, the city council, and he threatened Chief Harger that he would be calling, and he gets back, and all his officers and staff are fired, and the police department disbanded. And so this is the type of thing that's happening. Sheriff Christopher, of course, has been fighting Beau Biden, the son of Vice President Joe Biden, and defending the office of sheriff. Many politicians are now starting to say, why do we need sheriffs anymore? We can just go without them and just have local police. Why isn't it that we just not expand the sheriff's offices and get rid of the police? It's always that they want to expand state police or the police state, and that's exactly what's going on here. The police state is being expanded, and so they want to get rid of sheriffs. Now, why is that a problem? The first problem is that it defies and nullifies the republic, the republican form of government that people choose their representatives. The only elected law enforcement officer in the state is your sheriff. Your only election that deals with who takes care of your law enforcement needs, who protects you in your county, is your election when you do and vote for the sheriff. The rest of them, the chief of police, the state police, are all bureaucrats, and most of them report to other bureaucrats. They are not there working by, for, and of the people. They work for another bureaucrat. Now, we reach out to them, and they take the same oath of office that your sheriffs take. So we want them on board with us. Many of them realize that this is the case. What I'm telling you, this is the truth. Those who have studied it will tell you the same. And we had chiefs of police that were at our conference, and they're more than welcome to be there. But the truth of the matter is, they are appointed, not elected. The Republican form of government that we all participate in is supposed to be that the people choose our representatives, not some committee or a council or another bureaucrat known as the town manager or county manager, that they pick the sheriff. No, that is up to us. We choose our reps, and then every 4 years we will review his performance and say whether or not he gets to stay on in his position. That is why this is such a huge disaster and catastrophe waiting to happen as they continue across this country to diminish or get rid of sheriffs altogether. Sheriff Christopher is fighting that out in Delaware. Sheriff Finch was actually arrested because he did exactly what we've been hoping and praying for, and that is that sheriffs would nullify arrests of people in their jurisdictions if and when they were arrested for things that are clearly unconstitutional. And he had a citizen in his county that was arrested for mere possession of a gun, not committing any crime, not threatening anybody. This man was taken to jail simply because he had a gun in his pocket. He was not a prohibited felon, and I'm still amazed about this whole process. But Sheriff Finch, because he released this man and nullified the arrest, was then a couple of months later arrested himself and booked into his own jail. And he defied the state on all of this. He defied the governor, Governor Rick Scott of Florida, who suspended him and removed him from office, had his name taken off the marquee out in front of his office within a few hours of this happening, and took away his pay. He suspended him without pay. We don't believe the governor has the authority to do that, but anyway, that's another fight for another day. But then Willie Meigs, the prosecutor, offered Sheriff Finch a deal. If he would just leave office and not be sheriff anymore, agree to leave the office, that they would drop all charges, including one that was a felony. And it was obvious that it was not a matter of law and order, but it was a matter of getting rid of the sheriff, a constitutional sheriff. And then they replaced him with, you guessed it, a police state officer. And that's who became the sheriff because he was appointed by the governor. And so the powers that be and the government authorities that are getting involved in this are doing everything they can to get rid of the office of sheriff, which they did in Connecticut. They have no more sheriffs there. They have no sheriffs in Hawaii. Well, there is a sheriff, but he's an appointed guy that does security at the state capitol and for courts. But he's not elected, and he's not really an official law enforcement officer of the people. He's just a security guard. They are now removing sheriffs out of Rhode Island and Massachusetts, and they're just, you know, kind of using them as paper servers, so that the real police will be the state police or the police state. And the militarization of the police in this country is another concern of ours at the CSPOA. But what we are dedicating ourselves to primarily is this. When government officials abuse local citizens and destroy their property and destroy their homes and destroy their liberties, that there will be one man or woman standing for you, defending you against criminal government, and that will be your constitutional sheriff. We hope you have a constitutional sheriff in your county. We hope you have a constitutional chief of police, that they will keep their oaths of office, that they will be oath keepers, and that you will have somebody that you know you can depend on to protect you from all enemies, both foreign and domestic, just like the oath of office says. All of this is constitutional. It's based on principles of freedom and liberty that our country was founded upon, and it is absolutely what the sheriff in your community promised you he would do in the first place. We still ask the question to every cop and every public official in this country, and it's exactly what our document is asking too. Will you stand for liberty? Can you imagine that your sheriff would say, no, that is not my job. I won't. I'll be out writing tickets and trying to stop drug dealers, but I will not stand for liberty. That is completely the antithesis of why we have them in the first place. I implore and beg each of you, to join us in this holy cause of liberty. Join us at CSPOA. It is the only boots-on-the-ground solution. And if the people of this country don't get involved in it, it will not work.
I second that very, very strongly, Sheriff Mack. And by the way, one of the sheriffs who was at the conference was from right here in Texas, Sheriff Pam Elliott, down in the Beaumont area, and she was at the conference that I attended and participated in the drawing up of the declaration. And again, go to CSPOA.org to look at that declaration, read it, print it out, hand carry it, if you can, to your local sheriff or to your chief of police, or give it to the beat cop that you know, and let them know that there is an organization out there that is standing up for liberty, that is standing up for the Constitution. Go to that website and join up, and go to usjf.net to find out what we're doing. You can see the article I wrote about the, call it the line in the sand, that I wrote about this organization, CSPOA, and about what Sheriff Mack is doing, because it's remarkable. And you can find out, you'll keep up with me. And Sheriff, I really have enjoyed having you on today and hope you'll agree to come back again.
Absolutely, sure will. And thanks so much for having me on. And let's do it again.
Sounds good. Well, good day to everybody, and thank you for listening in.